Welcome, welcome, one and all, to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in. Now, live on Highland Radio, beaming out from the famous Mountaintop Studios here in Letterkenny. Joe Dex producing, as ever. Thanks, Donna Marie, for the news, and of course, the legendary Eivin Borland for the Power Hour Plus, and of course, our ongoing support from Kieran Brogan and all Sister Sarahs and the Dry Arts Complex. Much appreciated to you all. We have another packed show coming up in store here. We are at the Crunch Times quarterfinals in the Senior Championship, semis in the Intermediate and Junior. And of course, we've got semis in the Ladies as well as the Championship kicks on. It's a huge weekend coming up. Thinking all the training and dedication and, you know, all the meetings and all the effort, it's all coming down to the line now. A lot of people close to their goals. We'll see who's going to get across that line. It's going to get summed up now shortly. Later on the show, we're going to hear from Maureen O'Donnell. She's going to give us the lowdown on all the Ladies' Championship. But first of all, joining myself, the James Bond of sports journalist, Padraig Helferty's in studio here.
How'd you come up with that one there, Brad?
I just looked at you. This is the first thing
that
came into my head. Suave, like, sophisticated, shaken, not stirred.
Everything that you don't want.
He's slightly undercover. Speaking of a man undercover here,
we just sneaked him in from Glendale.
Yeah, a bit of joystick going on here, the big draw. You know,
I had to call in, you know, the backup. I had to get into the studio
in
here because there's...
it was getting heated there.
Fire and brimstone.
The rivalry is forever going, yeah. It is, of course, the Niamh Conal Colossus, John Gilday. John, how are you?
Hi, Brendan, how are you?
Good, sir, good. We have joined us by Zoom shortly, Oney McGarvey from the Wild West, the gunslinger himself. But first of all, folks, before we get to the Senior Championship, I'm really interested in your views from the weekend and, of course, the draw. We have to talk to an All-Ireland champ here, Francie Martin, manager of the Donegal Masters, won the All-Ireland Plate at the weekend. Francie, how are you, sir?
How you doing, Brandon? How's it going?
Francie, I'm doing the very best. Hey, you had a successful weekend with the Masters and a good night or two in Donegal Town, Big Brian McLaughlin was telling me.
Indeed, the boys. Done a wee bit of celebrating over in Donegal Town. Fair play to them. They were well due it, Brendan, so they had a wee party.
Yeah.
There were some photos up about them.
that's the thing that saved of myself and John back in the day. There was no, we just had the wee crappy Nokia, thankfully. Now, right, John was saying he never got the shout for the Masters there, Francie.
Even well bad form, Francie.
Just
he's looking fat here. I tell you, I don't know what's the black shirt he's wearing, but
well, now we could step up to the Laughter's Cup next year, and so
there you go, John.
I just think in the middle of that, it pulled me hamstring there, Francie. So I have to just rule myself out there, just in case there'll be any notions.
How you get him up on the table now, Francie? Surely get him organised.
Francie, 12-5 was the victory. You had played London earlier in the year in Ryslip in the league and drew. What was the big difference in this game, Francie? You were a bit slow to start, but once you found your rhythm, you had too much of them.
Aye, well, that game in London, I wasn't over because, as I say, my mother was ill and she died that following week. Like, but John Joe, and Eddie was over. John Joe O'Shea and Eddie Crawford, they were Eddie, the manager over there. So, I would say they were looking at the team. Our team had probably five or six fellas that couldn't go to London, you know, that would have made a big difference there. The likes of Nigel McGonigal and Eunan Keaveney. I don't think they weren't in London, you know, so
yeah.
They made the big difference there on Saturday, you know, with their scores, like, you know, things like that there.
Yeah. And tell me, you mentioned your two lieutenants there, John Joe O'Shea, Kelly Beggs, man. Of course, Eddie Crawford. You and him have put in some times together over the years, Francie.
I mean, Eddie's together a long time now. Started way back when I started managing. Was it 03 with Glen's Folly, like, and Eddie was the man out there that backed me up. Well, I knew Eddie through the army way before that, like, so we were buddies all our lives nearly, you know, so. And then, by good luck then, we got, it was Conor McShane, I think, got John Joe involved, and John Joe gave me a ring, and he said he would back me up too, so John Joe's very knowledgeable, like, he had great experience with All-Ireland, like, he had won All-Ireland with a vocational school way back, I don't know what year it was now, but, you know, he knows his football inside out, you know, and very intelligent. So I was very lucky to get them two men.
Yeah, no more than yourself, a good trio. Francis, listen, you're stepping up next year. Are you going to stay involved?
Well, I think so now. I didn't make up my mind yet, but I was enjoying it, Brendan, immensely. Like, as I say, I had a difficult year from last year when Gareth died. Like, so the boys kind of asked me to come in after that, you know, and you know, this, looking back, it did really help me. It helped me mind wise. And as Eddie was saying to me, coming back in the car the last day, like, you know, we have met 40 fellas there, you know, and started to mix with them. People that, well, we knew them through the football, all right, and then they go, like, you know, but as friends and as comrades, like, you kind of get to know them. You would know that yourself, and, you know, you kind of get talking to them. It's good for the mind, like, and it's good to get out, you know. And it's, you know, it's competitive too. Like, it is competitive. Like, there's no doubt about that. Like, you don't like losing anything, you know. You want to be winning, but you can't win everything, as I say.
Yeah. Well, listen, you took the title. And listen, Francie, of course, yeah, but thoughts are with you. Listen, tough time. The more in yourself, I find staying busy is a big thing. And the more people kind of you're involved with, the better. That's it. Hey, coaching can be a hard place to be at times, but listen, you got across the line anyway, so listen, behalf of all those crew here, well done, and I hope you enjoyed the victory. I would say you didn't bother with the day after session. You'd be too smart for that.
Recovery?
No, if you went back 30 years, maybe I would have been there. Listen,
Eddie Kravers told me a few stories about that time. Well, I'll not mention them on air, but Fancy, listen.
You better not.
Right, no, we're having 100%, so listen, well done.
Hello, Francis.
Thanks very much, Brendan.
Congratulations, lads.
Highland Radio there. Nice, John. Right, sir.
Appreciate it, Francie Martin. Here, Francie. Yeah, and the Donegal Masters. Now we're going to switch your attention to the Senior Championship, and the great Donal McGarvey's joined us there via Zoom. Hey, he's looking fierce fit there. He's ready for battle, hey, as well. So
good to see.
Porrick, you can take us in through the Senior Championship. Only will you hang, hey, we'll throw a wee question to you just about your intermediate victory at the weekend and just getting ready for that semi, if that's all right. Good man yourself.
Very good. That's, you know, off the training, Brendan.
You can get that started, because we'll throw the first question to John Galdeith.
I suppose it's been a fixture that a lot of people around the county has raised their eyebrows this morning, and I suppose we'll reflect on the weekend's performances first of all, John, before we look into those quarterfinal games. It is, of course, if you haven't already heard, the draw was made last night, and well, we'll go through them very shortly indeed. But starting looking back on yesterday's performances for Masters, coming away with victory against Killybegs. Good performance by Kevin Sinclair's side, John. And suppose progress for Masters back into the quarterfinal.
Yeah, no, listen, I suppose it's been a mixed bag from for Masters this year. You know, but being in the quarterfinal is a big step forward for them. Young side. And, you know, there will be a tendency to blow hot and cold from game to game. And even during particular games, they'll be on the ascendancy. I suppose the one they felt they let slip would have been the Glenswally one, where they were, you know, in control and ultimately nearly had the game won. And then that run away from it. And then prior to that, they had some good results over Gidor. So they'll be very happy with their season's work. And obviously they have another big game ahead of them this weekend. Mm. And they'll fear nobody. You know, they're young, they're vibrant. They're full of running. They can score. So on their day, they're going to be a handful for most teams out there.
And suppose they're scoring heavy. Scored 3-8, I think it was, against Gidor. So they'll definitely not fear Gidor. They'll be looking forward to that particular game, granted. Only suppose that you would know Gidor so close to them down that direction. And look, they found the form at the right time, do you feel, going into that game? But first of all, we reflect on that victory for Masters. Look, it was a good performance by Four Masters coming away against Killybegs. It was a sticky game throughout.
It was, Porrick, because I think the first score wasn't until the 15th minute. And, you know, yesterday it was a good day in the county compared to Saturday when we were playing ourselves and there was other quarterfinals and that on. So it was sticky enough for them. But the more than what John was saying there, they'll be happy enough so far. You know, Four Masters, they're through to the quarterfinal again and that. And look at they're playing well. They're winning games. You know, they got 3-8 there against Bedo. They got a big score, I think 3-6 against Downing. But they're able to win the sticky games as well, which will stand them in good stead. And you know, going to Bedo, I was down last week at the Bedo St Michael's game, and you know, it was poor stuff. Now I know probably there was talk that maybe they couldn't move up the table too much, even if they had won and all this. But I was impressed with them yesterday, the way they came back from that, because it's not that easy either in Championship to turn it on like that after a poor performance the week before. But they were good against McCool's, who, you know, let's be honest, apart from the first game against Ardra and beating Killy Beggs, they've really fallen down off the radar after that. Glenties gave them a big beating in the third game. You know, there was warning signs, and they just haven't seemed to be able to get back on track then. So it was a good victory for Gidor, and I would say they'll relish the draw as well. Getting four Masters again after them beating them in the first round, they'll be well up for it, you know.
Absolutely, and Ronan McNeil will be happy with his side's form. As Oney has pointed out as well, John, the rebound, you know, I think they were 3 points up after a couple of minutes, and, you know, really went for that game against McCool. Showed them very little respect. You know, winning the game by, 8 points was the final margin between them. So Gidor would be very happy with that going into the quarterfinals.
Yeah, listen, I suppose the result was the thing that was important for them, getting through to the quarterfinals. You know, ultimately, McCool's have probably disappointed this year. You know, they were played really well last year, got beat in the semi-final last year. I know they got beat well, but people expected them to build, and then just the wheels fell off the wagon slightly. You had the Bradley Walsh issues, and then you had Gallen, who was kind of fit but not fit, and was he firing on all cylinders or not? And when you take two big players out of any team, any club team, like that, it puts everybody else under pressure. And then there a couple of Riley was injured. So things just didn't go their way. And then obviously when that happens, it compounds itself. Mm. And then Gidor went for the juggler. I think the Glenties defeat really, you know, put them on the back foot. As Oney rightly pointed out, they never really recovered from that. And I would imagine they'd be disappointed, because I know they really wanted to push on this year. They felt they had it within them. And it's just back to the drawing board for the next 12 months.
Definitely is. And I suppose another side close to you as well, Oney, into a quarter final, Dunlow, 7-8 points, they defeated Downings. And well, that was a good performance by Dunlow. And Downings, I suppose, went down to 14 men. And that obviously had an advantage for Dunlow. But Dunlow, you know, they'll be really, really happy with their performance this year in the Senior Championship.
Yeah, they will be. That's four games now, you know, they won in the Senior Championship. And that's what you want as a player, you know what I mean? Yeah, you know, winning championship games, it creates momentum in the club. It creates a buzz about the club as well. And, you know, they had to dig it out, Downings. You know, Ronan Gallagher was a big loss for them, you know, for Downings in that game. I landed down, we were playing after them. I landed at the game about half time, and it was tough conditions now, and it was a real battle. And, you know, they had the same down in St Michael's, if you remember, in their group game. It was a wild day as well. And they only just lost by a point. And they dug it out on Saturday. And like I say, they're winning championship games. They'll be happy. They've drawn Glenswally now in the next round. And they will be happy with that. You know what I mean? They have a bit of momentum. They have good players. I've been saying that this few years, you know. And that, and like I say, There'll be a good buzz about now. They've a bit of momentum in that, and I don't think they'll fear Glenswally anyway.
Definitely not. And I suppose we'll reflect on that game. First up is on Saturday is of course Glenswally and Dunlow in Fallcarragh at 4:00. And John, as Oney has pointed out, Dunlow will definitely not fear Glenswally.
No, they won't. And as Oney said, they've had a good championship run. Like, they've won games. They came up from intermediate last year after a good year. So that's good for the club in general, and the lower club with a proud tradition. Like, they've been there thereabouts for a long number of years. When I was playing, and which isn't the day and yesterday, like, they were a very strong club. So they're getting back to that level again, which is, it's good for the Rosses anyway, because on his own side, Nivore had a good result yesterday, and Gidor are, you know, back in the hunt, were in the final last year. So, like, a lot of proud people down the Rosses. They won't fear Glenswally, but Glenswally are one of those sides that have been building. They haven't been beaten in the championship. I listened to Gary McDade last week, and he said that, you know, Glenswally have a proud, and are known as a proud pedigree when it comes to championship football. And they genuinely believe that. And they have a side there right now with a mixture of youth and experience with the older guys that is churning out good results. Don't know when they're beat, as I showed against Four Masters when they were 7-8 points down and managed to dig it out and won that game. So Glenshuadley are going to be a handful for anybody. You know, it's a good draw. I think when, and we'll talk about the other draws, but I think there were six teams happy with the draws on last night, yeah. In the sense that they all missed the so-called big two, you know, for want of a better word. So they're all going to be happy with the draws they got, but, you know, Glenshuadley, given the way they're playing, given the underage success over the last couple of years, they won't fear Dunloe either. So it's set for an interesting contest. Dunloe will feel they're in with a shot if they play really, really well. Mm-hmm. But Glenshuadley on the day are going to be a handful, and you know, they might just have too much experience for the young Dunloe lads coming through just now.
So you're going Glenshuadley then, John, by that?
I just have the longer this championship goes on and the longer Glenshuadley are in it, the more dangerous they become. And they've proven that down through the years. And they also have a manager, and you know, Gary has his ways of doing things. But outside of Martin Regan, you know, he is one of the most consistent managers when it comes to winning championships over the last 10 to 15 years in Donegal. He knows how to do it, and they believe in him totally out there. So they're a dangerous proposition for anybody.
Absolutely. And only, I suppose, your observation on that particular game, what way do you feel that's going to go? Is it going to be, are you going to favour your near neighbours in this one?
Well, I thought it was funny there. I think John said we were back to a big two. When we were on about 3 or 4 weeks ago, he said there was a big one that was in Donegal. So it's good to hear we have a big two anyway again. So that,
yeah, but I was talking about Glenshuadley and St. Eunan's.
No, Glenshuadley, look, John's pointed out all of Glenshuadley's strengths and the way they've been coming. And you know, they have a nice mixture of youth and experience there. You know, Don Gallagher, Jack Gallagher, the High Gilday, you know, would have been up about the 20s and that, you know, mixing that with Copper, Michael Murphy and them players. And look at John was right about the draw. You know, six teams were happy, and, you know, they were happy that St. Eunan's and the O'Connell have met now in the quarterfinal stage, because, you know, it is set up for some team now to get to a final. You know, if you don't meet maybe one of them teams, I'm not saying that they couldn't beat any of them other two teams, you know, whoever gets through there, but it's nicely set up for them teams. And I said earlier, Dunloe won't fear them, but I do think that Glenshuadley will have a bit too much for them on the day.
So we're both going with Glenshuadley on that occasion. Okay, well, look, I'm sure Dunloe will have something to say about that, lads, your prediction there. But moving on, swiftly, 7:30 Saturday night underlights in McCool Park. It is, of course, Niamh Connell against St. Eunan's. Mouthwatering tie to look forward to on Saturday night. The championship really kicks into life, John. And look, as I say, I'm putting it to you, Niamh Connell, a few questions asked of them in the group stages this time round. Maybe Martin was managing his panel a little bit better. But look, when they last met, it was St. Eunan's that went away with the victory. Obviously, you're going to back your own home side here, but how can St. Eunan's beat Niamh Connell?
I can't tell you that. That would just go against everything in our nature. Listen, it's a mouthwater. It's a big tie.
Yeah.
You know, and that's with all due respect to all the other clubs who on their day can beat any one of them. But they've been the so-called big two, and you know, I think Oney was right 3 or 4 weeks ago after St. Eunan's beat Niamh Connell up and Glenties, I said there was a big one, and then I eulogised about them, and then the following week they go out and Kidore beat them.
You put a curse on them.
You know, so and they struggled against Kidore. They struggled to break Kidore down. Kidore went ultra defensive. The thing I felt about the Niamh Connell St. Eunan's game and Glenties was it was played like a league game to a certain extent. It was wide open. It was up and down the park. It was great to watch. There was great scores, but it wasn't really championship football. And now the championship starts now. So really what has happened in the past is gone by the wayside. You know, Glenties have a number of injuries, which hasn't helped. They have guys that have come back from that game. Eunan's, you know, are going really well. Fitness wise they're flying. You know, they have a lot of belief in themselves. Those two victories, because they beat Niamh Connell in the league as well, will stand to them, and that's something they haven't done in quite some time. I met Connell Dunn after the match, and we couldn't figure out when was the last time St. Eunan's actually beat Niamh Connell up in Glenties. So it sets itself up for a mouthwatering tie, but ultimately Niamh Connell have been there, done that, bought the T-shirt. And I can't imagine there'll be a situation where they'll let Unions run away with a Benny Stout's imagination. Obviously, Unions going as favourites, and rightly so, given the last result. But pedigree stands for an awful lot, and these guys have been in many's a dark corner and many's a dark night and have come out on the right side of it. So it'd be a very brave man to bet against them, even though Unions will probably have to go in as favourites.
Yeah. And suppose, look, Oney, I'm going to come to you for your prediction on it as well. But look, everyone's looking forward to this tie. We're neutrals here, myself and yourself. And I know John, obviously, he's keeping tight lip there. He's not letting anything away. But it is a game where Unions, you know, they've got the victory up in Glenties. It's going to be a totally different game in McCool Park on Saturday night.
Yeah, look, it will be a totally different game in that. It is hard to call. New Connell are going for three in a row. Have beat Unions, you know, this past couple of years when it mattered, and I do feel that St. Unions need to come with something different on Saturday night than what they produced maybe last year and the year before. You know, they just didn't seem to be able to break New Connell down. You know, it was low-scoring games, but they just seemed to be round the periphery, round the 45, hand-passing across the field, down and up, down one corner, back out again. You know, they just didn't seem to be breaking lanes the way they should be with the quality of players they have. And like I say, if they don't come with something different on Saturday night, I wouldn't back against New Connell to lose. I would say that they would win, because I went against them one time before in a county final, and I never heard the end of it after that.
That's just a mistake, Oney.
That was a mistake, but I don't think I was really forgiven in Glenties for going against them.
Well, no, we forgive you now. You're grand. You've been live on Highland Radio. You've been pardoned.
A virtual hug there for you, Oney.
A virtual hug. So, like I say, of St. Unions, which I think they will come with something different. I think they have to. You know, if you look back, you know, they lost last year, they lost the year before. They know to win the Donegal Senior Championship, they're going to have to beat New Connell somewhere along the line. And, you know, you'd have to be working on something different. I do think they will come with something different, especially with Mr. Devaney and the coaching.
But I would
still go for New Connell to win on Saturday night, Borick. After all that spiel about St. Unions and that, I still think New Connell will be hard to beat on Saturday night.
They have to go for it, St. Unions, you know, as well. They have to, as Oney has rightly pointed out, John, you know, it's they have to change up that game plan a wee bit.
Oh, and, you know, not to ratchet up the pressure on them by any stretch of the imagination, but they are under a lot of pressure. Like, you know, if they don't come out the right side of a result this time round, that'll be three in the bounce, and it'll be four of the last five. So, you know, it can become a habit. Winning becomes a habit, and losing becomes a habit. I think there is a different dynamic around St. Unions this year to a certain extent. I think, and not because Brendan's involved here, but Brendan's brought an air of freshness to it. Barry Mayne's coming in there. Neil Baird has them in amazing shape, as good as conditioning I've seen in the senior team in Donegal in a long time. And, you know Brendan's attitude to football, it's all about going forward and breaking lines and scoring and doing that. And they've been doing that the whole year, and they did that very successfully in Glenties a couple of weeks ago. But by the same token, then you have the other side of the equation. It's be very naive to think Martin Regan has stood still and hasn't, you know, learned and, you know, honed the skill levels. And we've brought a couple of new players through to the squad as well that freshen it up. So, listen, anybody that would, you know, bet their house on this would be taking a huge risk, because this game can go anyway. If Unions bring something different, go at it, hit on the day, their big players step up and play well and they kick their scores, they're going to be very difficult to beat. But if it turns in under lights into a war of attrition, then, you know, Niamh Connell are going to be more favoured in that type of situation. But I'm obviously going to tip Niamh Connell. I think just history dictates that they generally find a way, no matter what the circumstances, to grind out a result. But by the same token, if Unions won by a couple of points, nobody's going to be overly surprised either way.
Yeah, it's going to be a cracker. It is, of course, live here on Highland Radio Saturday Sports, 7:30, McCool Park in Balbuffet. Oisin Kelly will be there, of course. On Sunday, the first game gets underway at 12:30, St. Michael's against Kilcar. Only, I suppose, St. Michael's coming into this and Kilcar. St. Michael's had a fabulous campaign so far in the group stages. Would you feel that they're in the ascendancy to get into this particular game against Kilcar? quietly coming into this game with a big performance against Clonmacnoise?
Yeah, maybe quietly coming into it, but you know, let's be honest here, Michael Langan not being there is going to be a huge, huge loss for them. Even though, you know, any time I've seen St. Michael's, there's more to them than that. You know, they've Carlos O'Reilly, they've Eddie O'Reilly, Colin McFadden is a really good player for them. Last week down in Gweedore, they were able to take Daniel McLaughlin off the bench and he kicked two brilliant scores for them. Andrew Kelly is still playing for them. They still have a very good team there, but Langan really took the X factor to St. Michael's and that. And I think Kilcar, you know, with their first game against St. Union's, you know, they seemed to write that one off. They didn't perform and they had injuries and all that. But they won their past three games and they're going about their business quietly as well. And they would have been happy with the draw, no more than what we said earlier in that. And I just feel that I do feel, Corrick, that Kilcar will come out on top of that one purely because of Michael Langan being missing. And I think if Paddy McBrearty and Brian McHugh, Mark McHugh, Owen McHugh, all them players, Stephen McBrearty's back playing for them, you know, he had a good field that competition for them down in Cork and that. I just feel with that spread of players for them, I do think Kilcar will come out on top of that one.
Yeah, as Zoni has said, Michael Langan is a huge wing in favour of Kilcar, John, and you know, it's hard to replace a player like that. And I suppose with Kilcar, you know, they've got a lot of scoring threats there as well. So, look, would your synopsis of that particular game be in favour of Kilcar as well?
Probably, you know, apart from the Unions match, as Zoni pointed out, where they, you know, there was weddings and men injured and everything else, and they did seem to just throw their hat at it. They've been very good since, and nobody's talked about them at all, and they have an awful lot of talent up there and an awful lot of pedigree. And ultimately, they would feel themselves that group of players hasn't delivered what it potentially could have over the last 10 years. Like, they've won championship, I think, and they probably felt there was more in it, given the calibre of player that they had. So they will see this as a huge opportunity right now, given the fact that the so-called Big Two are playing in a quarter-final, for them to go on a run. And on a one-off game down the line, they will fancy their chances. You know, St. Michael's, again, have drifted through the championship. They've been comfortable. They've won games. Michael Langan's been superb. They haven't really come across maybe any of the big guns as yet. So it's very hard to just know exactly where they're at. Because the way the championship format is, you know, you can get to a certain part in the championship without really being tested at a top level. Gidor probably was the big test for them and in very bad conditions. So they'll feel they have a chance against Kilcar, and Kilcar can be got at, and if you get stuck into them and you never know what can come out of it. But ultimately, given Kilcar's pedigree, given the calibre player they have, you would think that they'll have enough, given Michael Langan's absence, to win this by a couple of points to spare.
There's an Ardra as well, 12:30, I should say. So the final game of the weekend, of course, is Gidor against Four Masters, 4:30 on Sunday in McCool Park. Gidor, again, just reviewing their league form, suppose, in the championship so far. Would they go on as favourites maybe into this one against Four Masters, John?
I suppose, again, given their pedigree, they'll go on as favourites, but they've been very hot and cold. You know, I watched them in the league final against Niamh Connell and they weren't at the races at all. Then they come up then and they lose the first game against Four Masters, and then they come up and turn over Unions. So it's a real mixed bag in there. Not unlike Four Masters that have been a mixed bag as well. They'll obviously come feeling that, you know, there's every potential there getting to another final. And they have a lot of talent down there. So they'll feel their favourites. But Four Masters, I have a wee sneaking suspicion that, you know, they could go at this. Some really good forwards hit big scores. I think the weather the weekend's going to be quite good. They're dynamic all over the park. They've some great free takers. So I wouldn't be shocked if Four Masters turn Gidor over. Now, Gidor are going to be delighted by this, because the last time I spoke about Gidor, I said Unions were going to beat them by about 30 points, and then Brendan managed to lose. So Gidor are going to be delighted by this, but I have a sneaking suspicion that maybe Four Masters might, all things going well, could be the shock of the weekend as such.
It's going to be a fantastic weekend.
There you go. Big prediction there.
Well, we need to get Oney here. Big prediction here for Masters from John Gilday.
There you go.
Oney McGarvey, you're on the block here. What are you, what are you thinking?
Oney, I was listening to him, by the way. Thanks. Keep it going, kid.
I just think with Goudour having been turned over by four Masters the first day out, which is kind of probably the time to catch some of the teams out in the Championship, I just think that we're at quarter-final stage. Goudour have a good performance behind him yesterday. Really, I was really impressed with Donal McIlhareigh yesterday. He was outstanding in the middle of the field for Goudour. Now, four Masters are going well. Conor Reid is playing really, really well for them. Senan Carr, all them players, good dynamic, as John said about them. But I just think it's a good draw for Goudour. Like I say, haven't been beat earlier in the season, and so four Masters, they'll look at it as a winnable tie. Why not? Should they beat them earlier in the year? And Kevin Sinclair, let's be honest, is doing a serious job with four Masters, promoted to Division One, now to the quarterfinals. And like I say, they'll be happy enough with it. They'll talk this week. We beat them before, we can beat them again, you know, on that. But I just think when we're at the quarterfinal stage in that, and like I say, I wasn't impressed before 2 weeks ago, but they did play well yesterday, and I think if they take that performance and that level of intensity that they took yesterday early on, you know, against McCool's, I think if they have the same performance this weekend, I would go for Goudour on that one, Paddy.
Yeah. There you
are. We've got loads of great predictions there, John Gilday. Thanks so much for your predictions there, and you know, giving Brendan's back in. He's got about six pages with him of writing.
I like the scribble.
He's writing away.
Sean Patton's at full forward. And, the team sheet. What else there?
Yeah.
You shouldn't have brought that
subliminal,
in with you.
Subliminal. We're giving it all away. Hey, listen, we still have to have a bit of crack. You know what I mean? It's a game of football. Let's play the game, but there's always time for a wee bit of crack, isn't there, John?
Absolutely.
You know, life's too short, boys, for us not to be setting it up. We can give our opinions and our point of views. I can't give mine, obviously, but the rest just can, and we can. We'll see where it goes. John will be back, no doubt, 100%. John, listen, boys, great wrap up there in the seniors. I'm conscious, just want to get a couple of words across on the intermediate. Oney, I'll throw a question to you just from that brilliant victory over Milford at the weekend, 198 points. When he hit up at half time, Harry Harden, goal. Crucial score, giving you the platform with the breeze to go on and win the match.
Yeah, that was a huge score for us, Brendan, because we scored that goal maybe 6-7 minutes before half time, and just straight after that, Milford had a brilliant goal chance. Kane Barrett was through 1-on-1, and Declan Ward pulled off a mighty save for us, and that we tacked on two more points before half time. It point lead was good. Now it was a 1-day day down there and that, but you know, we hung tough then in the second half, and we managed to get a couple of more scores, you know, against the Breeze, and we ended up 4-point winners. And yeah, we were delighted. Probably we did go on as underdogs at the weekend, but that's the way we like it, Brendan. And we like upsetting the odds at times. So no, it was a good victory for us. It was a good buzz about, as I mentioned earlier, when you're winning championship games, it's good for the lads and that. So yeah, we were delighted now on Saturday.
Yeah. I know Dara Black, obviously good, the Milford captain, was missing with you, Joey Gillespie, Daniel Ward as well. Just a word on that, you mentioned four Masters, obviously Goudour, that defeat to Narasa. In many ways, is that the time to get it? You know, you've been on a great run since, and now you're heading into a semi-final, of course, with Thurman. The confidence will be high.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, I said it before when I was on here, Narasa nipped us in the first game, and they more than deserved it. And, you know, we got a good reaction then. 6 days later, we played Fannett at home, and we beat them maybe by 6 or 7 points. We scored 2-16. So we knew we had that in us, but you know, at times when you lose your first championship game, you know, when you're out again the following week, if you lose your second one, you're under serious pressure. So We turned it around like that, and like I say, we played well on Saturday, and we're looking forward now to Thurman. Porrick probably won't let me talk them up. He'll probably butt in.
They're in his favourites, you know.
He's just as casual as favourites. Look at how smooth he is now. Yeah, I'll tell you what. That's something. Listen, Oney, thanks for taking that question. Hey, and your input tonight, John Gilday. Thanks very much for the wrap up, boys.
See you, Oney.
Thank you.
Much appreciated there. I, myself, and Danny Donald doing great stuff there. Just on the the mighty men of Termon, you know, big season for you, of course. Got over Red Hughes at the weekend. I was out in the park, you know, watching it there. It was a kind of sticky game, conditions, you know, both teams sitting deep. I thought your double sweepers looked very solid at the back, you know.
Double and triple sweepers. That was one of
the. I didn't look. You looked a wee bit more.
You love wearing double and triple sweepers. Funny, we were just talking before this, and a result came through from the Glenswally St Union's minor game half time, and it was 2-1 to Glenswally. Yeah. So they were obviously playing six or seven sweepers.
That scares me. I only sent me a copy. Only actually sent me a copy of that, and I was like, I was looking a couple of times now. As you see me, you were slagging me about my glasses last week. I thought I need the glasses on. That can't be right. Boys, what's happening? But yeah, it didn't look like Red Hughes had the wherewithal to break that down. Like, you know, really, they were kind of going old school. You know, you have to do a lot of work to get into a position to try and break that down. It looked like a game you were never going to lose. You know, you've had a few sticky games the last few weeks, but you've got across the line. A
couple of sticky ones, and as I say, look, we knew what I suppose what Red Hughes were going to bring and what way they were going to set up on that. You know, and I suppose you have to deal with that on the day, and it can be frustrating at times. But look, the boys managed the game fairly well. They were pretty much in control. They got the goal at the right time, and you know, first of all, those aspects come in when you look for a little bit of, you know, energy from youth, and the boys had that in their locker, you know, and getting the goal at the crucial time, the game opens up then, you know. But as I say, look, they still have a lot to do. They've got Niamh Mhara coming this Saturday night, and that's going to be, that's going to be a massive game, you know. And as I say, it's the intermediate championship. It's a championship where anything, it's not that predictable. People would have put Milford as favourites last weekend, you know, and they've took them out. So you can't go on complacent into that as well, you know. And as I say, look, it's something to look forward to now. And
it's had a couple of great games. I find those games fascinating. I hope I can get a chance to see
Malin and Buncrana was
a game. You know, I was at the Malin Buncrana game last year, and actually Buncrana were 3 points up with them, and it looked like game won. Malin came back and got a draw, and it was ended up, they say, 10 each. That should have been 10 each, really. I mean, obviously Buncrana got the late Malin got the late equaliser. They must straight up the pitch and bang the winner, and actually Buncrana had a chance to equalise Darragh O'Connor. So it was all happening down the one day phone. But for last year it was 1-7-10, Malin 1-7, Buncrana 10, 11-10 yesterday. I mean, it's coming down absolute inches.
And there's nobody speaking about Glenleaf Columba as well, you know. And you know, they've a number of really good footballers there as well. So
look, goals, do you know, Glen seem to have the ability to rattle in goals. I've seen a few times there, they know what the onion bag is, and of course the penalty hero himself, Aaron Doherty, was at it again at the weekend. He hit 1-3. Yeah, so Bundoran, you always think you can Bundoran bounce back to that team that went up to senior there and show that worth. But obviously Niamh Columba, you know, we're in the final 2 years ago, 361-7 victors, setting up.
That's going to be a cracker too. It's on Sunday at 3 o'clock.
Sunday at 3, Malin and Malin and Niamh Columba. Yeah, listen, absolutely phenomenal stuff. Of course, in the junior championship, Niamh Padraic of Muff defeated Niamh Breed 4-6 to 1-5. I was actually looking at that result, John. You know, you look at goals. Like, if you're going to register only a certain amount of scores, let them be goals. County under 20 star Kevin Lynch, he's a brit of a man, hey, but he knows with onion bag is 3-1. He had 3 goals. Say that, I don't know if we get the match ball or not. You'd be lucky to get away with the O'Neills. But what a performance by Lynch down there. It's been a, you know, a really tough week for them. The death, obviously, of Evan Craig and everything. Like, such a young man, one of their own teammates. So a really tough week for everybody involved. Niamh Padraic, but coming through there with flying colours. And, you know, it's been a great season for them so far.
Yeah, and I suppose what we're finding is that the games at the intermediate and junior level tend to be even much more entertaining now than you will have at senior level. There's a level of organisation and structure and professionalism that at senior football in Donegal right now, where it's almost nearly a fear of losing to a certain extent, where nothing's left a chance. It's complete blanket defence. I don't know, when's the last time you've seen 4 goals scored in a senior match at championship level? It just doesn't happen. You know, and that's because, you know, maybe there's a higher level of fitness, and maybe there's a better standard of player, and there's more organisation, and clubs are throwing more at it to a certain extent. But it's great to see, you know, big scores like that. The new rules, and that's probably another show you're going to do at some point in the future. The new rules coming in are going to be interesting. You know, the marking allowed to play on, the three up front. You know, when you see and going back to that Minor game out the road at 2-1 at half time at Minor football.
Yeah.
Like there's something fundamentally wrong with the game if that's allowed to happen but and not do something about it.
The same score at under 16 was for Masters were playing against I think it was McCool's actually. Same scoreline at half time, 2-1, you know, and finished 1-7 to 1-9.
It makes the heart sink. Just listen, I think, John, you're right. The only thing's going to change is, boys, a rule change, particularly in Donegal. Let's be honest about it, it's the worst. I talked to a lot of people all over the country, and I scan results, you know, and try and see something as low as what's coming out of our county, and we're definitely bottom of the
pack. But you don't have to go a million miles away. Go and look at how vibrant the Tyrone Championship is. Yeah. Like, it's end-to-end ding-dong. So it's fantastic,
still,
you know.
Yeah, some of it still obviously becomes defensive, right?
Yeah.
But I think the majority of it would be kind of won the match kind of scenario. But listen, that's, as you said there, that's one for another day. Of course, we have to congratulate St Mary's Convoy, 2-11-7 victors over Oris. So they play... They're setting up a semi-final date as well. And you know, you're looking at that junior championship and, you know, teams there from last year, particularly Mayville and that, didn't happen at all from this year. And really, you know, momentum is the key. You know, teams go on a run. Like Mayville, you know, didn't think they were going to get to a final last year and then, you know, came so close to winning it against Narrossa.
Cairn Donagh and Convoy, yeah, it's on Saturday. And Neavolton against Neave Patrick Ishikeen is on... is on Saturday as well at half five, so 1:30 and 5:30.
Yeah, good luck. Karen Donovan blazing the trail. My slight favourites for that anyway, but listen, I don't want to tear a tap on it. That's my first tap of the night, wasn't it? Yeah, we'll leave it at that. Sorry, Karen Donovan. No,
the kiss of death.
You're on about goal scorers. There's a certain lady that used to...
So we better get her on soon, all right, Park. You can see her coming up on the screen there. We're going to talk ladies' championship now with Maureen O'Donnell after this break. Yes, welcome back to the DL Debate. And now, as I said, we're delighted to be joined by Maureen O'Donnell. Maureen, how are you this evening?
Not too bad. It seems I'm among celebrities this evening. I have one question for you. Oryx Bond, who am I?
Oh, there you go. Miss Honeypenny.
There you go.
Listen, hey, use German ones. I think any of yous could be international spies, the way you roll, you know.
That's how we roll, Brendan.
Mo's spying into the men's game as well.
I need to start getting paid. I give up my day job, or maybe some people would say, don't give up your day job.
Why do you get paid? Mo, listen, hey, we'll run through this championship. Quick time is obviously against us. Hey, Mo, just looking, obviously, the 10-year love affair of Glenfinnan is the big news of the weekend with the senior county final. It ain't happened, ever improving. Neave Connell ladies held them to a draw. Mo, is that the big news of the week heading into these semi-finals?
Yeah, I suppose we were all eyes on Glenties and Neave Connell and Glenfinnan going into the last game yesterday. That game had been put off and had to be played again, you know, due to that bad weather a couple of weekends before. So, you know, Glenties were going into the game with... They had beaten Neave Warren in the first round, and then they drew against St Noel. So all they really needed was a draw. But you couldn't write it because Glenfinnan were 7 points up at the break, and you would have thought, you know, that was them back in the semi-final. Anybody going into it would have, you know, put their money on it. But that's why you shouldn't really bet going into these games. But Neave Connell powered through in the end and got a second goal just on the 32nd minute. And that gave them the draw and secured them the place in the semi-final, which is a repeat of the 2022 semi-final against Termon. Yes. Termon, on the other hand, you know, don't want to talk too much more about Glenfinnan. They'll be very disappointed that they're on the shield at this stage, finishing fifth. But Termon went out to Neave Warren, beat Neave Warren, so they have 4 out of 4 and they top the table. They now play Neave Connell in the semi-final, and the other semi-final, of course, between St Eunan's and Mobile. St Eunan's are at home and Termon are at home, so two cracking semi-finals in store, really.
Yeah. And tell me, Mo, just on, is there talent coming through this Glenfinnan? Are we reading too much on it that they didn't make this season, or Is there a bit of a change there around the growth of the likes of a Neave Connell, and of course St Eunan's, two teams improving?
Listen, Brendan, Glenfinnan were really in the back foot from the start. They played, you know, they ended up playing all of the top. It's all of Group 3 who went through to the semi-finals. So in Group A, you had Termon, Mayville, St Eunan's, and St Eunan's and Mayville, and that side, and Neave Connell. They've all went through. Glenfinn were on the other side, and no disrespect to Irua, St. Noel's and Nivora, they thought they were going to be playing everybody in that group, and it ended up that Glenfinn had to play everybody in the opposite group. Yes. So they had a real tough battle, and you know they lost out to St. Union's at home as well, up on their home pitch. So that was a big blow to them. They won against Melville by 2 points. And you would have thought then at that stage they were going to crack on. And judging by their first half performance yesterday, they were very, very good. But Niamh Connell, to be fair to them, they never give up. A very young and up-and-coming team, up in senior championship since 2018, looked to be relegated or degraded at that time, but stayed up and they powered through. And they're playing without Amy Boyle Kerr as well. But listen, a lot of changes, as you say. At Melville were missing a few key players as well. Centre half back Cara Martin was out from the week before, injured as well. So, and just a few things didn't go their way at the end, and Glenty's pushed on, Brendan.
Yeah, know? Yeah, well done to them. St. Eunice Melville, how would you call that one, Mo?
Listen, Melville are very pacey up front, and Niamh Higgerty and Kate McLenahan's playing very, very well. And I'm not sure how St. Eunice is going to manage that in defence. You know, that turn of pace from Niamh Higgerty. And you see it again as well from Jerry McLaughlin. It's very, very hard for any forward to mark it. And St. Eunice might be in trouble then. They beat Glenfinn, but they were matched nearly for pace there. But I don't know how they're going to come up. But they are at home, so we'll see how it goes, Brendan. You know, I probably maybe see Melville getting over the line there, you know. Yeah. They haven't been in a championship final since 2018.
Yeah, great stuff. Mo, at that intermediate level, Dunlow, Killybegs, Ardra and Fannad. All close to the big day.
Very interesting there as well. Dunlow obviously topped the table there, 4 out of 4, very good. But Killybegs were waiting sort of on yesterday's result. Like another game cancelled earlier on a few weeks ago. Dunlow still had to play Cador, and Cador could have got into fourth position. But Cador needed maybe 15 or 16 points to make it on score difference ahead of Killybegs yesterday. So Killybegs got through just on score difference. And as I say, Cador will be sorry that they missed out as well, disappointed with that. So it's Dunlow are at home to Killybegs. Ardra will play at home to Fannad. Two very good intermediate finals as well. And the Junior A semi-final, another very interesting twist. Downey's obviously topped the table and play at home to Niamh Columba, which are Glen Colum Kill. And Glen Colum Kill just got through yesterday by beating Kilcare as well. So you have Niamh Padraic playing Glen Swilly, and you have Downey's playing Niamh Columba. And then in Junior B, you have the final straight away. And this is all happening on Sunday, Brendan. And the Junior B finals, McCool's takes on Red Q. So a very, very interesting weekend of football on the men's side, obviously, and on the ladies on Sunday morning as well. The semis will all take place apart from the Junior B final.
It is coming thick and fast. Mo, thank you so much for reading up. Sorry, there's so much to pack into tonight's show. And listen, we'll probably get a week now where we have maybe a week off and a week with different championships out after, and we can give a bit more talking in depth. Mo, but brilliant wrap up as ever. Just one wee thing. Tony Boyle, of course, said to me the last day when we said about all the stuff done, though, we're one ladies, I think we left a couple of things out. He was sending me a text after. I says, "You've won that much, hey? What do you want?" But hard to keep that man happy.
He's listening anyway, Brandon.
Hard to keep him happy.
He's
hey,
listening.
You know what? Listen, the performances must be keeping him happy at this stage, because like the underage is going well down there. I told you that, and I said I called it for intermediate as well. I don't see them having any trouble, and they will perform well up in the senior championship, Brandon, because they're in Division One now as well.
Brilliant, Mo. Thanks so much for wrapping up as ever. I want to thank all my guests this evening, of course. And Joe here for producing, and we will be back next week with
good
more
man,
of the DL debate. Thank you very much.
Good evening.